100 years in the coffee business brings you the Chase and Sanborn 100th Anniversary Show. Comedy gems from radio's finest hours. Chase and Sanborn Hours, starring the recorded voices of W.C. Fields, Fred Allen, Jimmy Durante, Eddie Cantor, Don Ameche, Nelson Eddy, Dorothy L'Amour, Rudy Valley, Ogden Nash, Alec Templeton, Rosalind Russell, Mary Pickford, Charles Lawton, Jack Oakey, Adolph Manjou and Marie Teasdale, Major Bowles, Margaret O'Brien, Mae West, Ethel Barrymore, Jimmy Stewart, Carol Lombard, Clark Gable, and starring Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Thank you, Jimmy Wallington.
Well, Bergen, we came in last again.
Ah, well, in the winter of 1929 and 30, Chase and Sanborn Coffee started on the radio with the Chase and Sanborn Choral Orchestra. Then, about a year later, the era of big-name radio really began when Chase and Sanborn paid a hitherto unheard-of sum to Maurice Chevalier, who created radio's first great catchphrase. I am not going to sing it for you tomorrow. I am not going to sing it for you next week. I am not going to sing it for you next month. But right now.
And that's how a Swede imitates Maurice Chevalier.
Every little breeze seems to whisper Louise. Birds in the trees seem to twitter Louise. Each she goes, says it knows I love you. Love you every little bit that I feel in my heart. Seems to repeat what I felt at the start. Each little sigh tells me that I adore you, Louise. Just to see and hear you is joy I never knew. But to be so near you thrills me through and through. Anyone can see why I wanted your kiss. It had to be, but the wonder is this. Can it be true someone like you could love me? Ah, Louise!
Mr. Chevalier was followed on the Chase and Sanborn Hour by Eddie Cantor. And Eddie Cantor's Chase and Sanborn Coffee Hour with Rubinoff became the biggest thing on the air.
And I was Eddie Cantor's straight man.
Everybody remembers Jimmy Wallington. He is our announcer for tonight.
There was hardly a big name in show business that didn't appear as a guest on Eddie Cantor's Chase and Sanborn Hour. And this is Eddie singing his famous theme song.
To spend each Sunday with you, ask friend of friend, I'm sorry it's true, I'm telling you just how I feel. I hope you feel that way too. Let's make a date for next Sunday night. I'm here to stay. Will be my delight to sing again, bring again the things you want me to. I love to spend each Sunday
following Eddie Cantor, the Chase and Sanborn Hour was headed by that great comedian, Bert Lahr.
Hey, oh, yeah. Wasn't he the one who had the whole country saying, gong, gong, gong?
That's right. Yeah.
And after Bert Lahr, another showbiz great took over the Chase and Sanborn Hour, Jimmy Durante.
What a man. When Paramount News was the eyes and ears of the world, Jimmy Durante was the nose.
And it was on the Chase and Sanborn Hour that Jimmy composed his famous song, Inca Dinka Doo.
Inca Dinka Doo, Inca Dinka Doo, Inca Dinka
Doo. Oh, what a tune for crooning.
Inca Dinka Doo, Inca Doo, Inca Doo.
Pick up the whole
Eskimo bells up in Iceland
are ringing.
They have made their own paradise land.
Singing,
ink, a dinkity, a dinkity, a dinkity, a
dinkity,
a dinkity, a dinkity, a dinkity, a dinkity. That note was given to me by Bing Crosby, and was he glad to get rid of it?
Ha!
Charlie, isn't it wonderful to be back working for Chase and Sanborn?
And I'm still working for that same 75 cents.
Just think, we started 31 years ago. Careful, begging.
When you say that, you're dated.
And that's what we were selling. Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in bags. You knew when you bought Chase and Sanborn that the coffee was fresh.
Too bad your jokes weren't.
Then came the vacuum packing. To ensure even greater freshness, they canned the coffee.
And then they canned us.
And now we're back. And Chase and Sanborn's putting Colombian beans in their coffee to make it richer than ever.
Richer than ever. That does it. I want a raise in my allowance.
Charlie, have you no sentiment?
No. And no money either.
Charlie, let's talk man to man.
Oh, Bergen, no. Not to birds and bees.
I'd just like to know, if I gave you more money, what would you do?
Do? I'd drop dead.
All right. Gotta get on with the show, you know.
That is the voice of Major Bowes, creator of the original Major Bowes Amateur Hour. Remember, Charlie?
Yeah, I remember. He was the one who told us that before we could become amateurs, we needed more practice.
But we finally got a hearing.
From good old Rudy Valu.
Yes, it was Rudy Valley who had the showmanship to put us on the air.
It took more than showmanship. It took raw courage.
We sat in his office waiting to see him.
For 8 weeks we sat.
Are you sure this is Rudy Valley's office?
Oh, it must be. There's a picture of Rudy Valley looking at a picture of Rudy Valley.
Excellency, Rudy Valley. Will everybody rise, please? Welcome to your premiership.
Mr. Valley, we came to talk to you about your radio program.
Yes, awfully good, isn't it?
Well, it's not that so much.
Just what are you fellows doing here?
Well, I'm a ventriloquist.
A what?
A ventriloquist. I talk through my stomach.
That's nothing. I sing through my nose. Acrobats, jugglers, now ventriloquists. I'd have everything thrown at me.
Even grapefruit.
Oh, this is a thankless job. I spend my days and nights looking for talent, high and low.
Well, why don't you hire us?
I hadn't intended to look that low.
Well, we promised to work hard.
Well, are you reliable? You boys don't drink, do you?
No.
Drink? We hardly eat.
Well, I'm going to take a chance on you anyway, against my better judgment.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Valley, thank you. I deeply appreciate your generosity. Oh, stop licking his hand, Arthur. And now, Mr. Valley, what about money?
Oh, that's all right. You won't have to pay me anything.
It was right after that that Mr. Chase and Mr. Sanborn auditioned us and had this conversation.
Caleb, I like those boys. They're a nice blend. They're worthy of being on our coffee program.
Well, I like them too, Mr. Sanborn, but I understand that Bergen and McCarthy are asking $300 a week.
Oh, they are? Well, let's just hire the little fellow, McCarthy. He's the funny one.
What a show we had. Don Amici was our host. Nelson Eddy was our star singer. And Dorothy Lemoore...
Ah, Dotty. I was Dotty only Dotty.
And everybody loved each other. Didn't they, Charlie?
Are you kidding, Bagin?
Ah, hello, Edgar.
If it isn't up to see, the original half-man, half-nose, well...
Well, Charlie McCarthy, the woodpecker's pin-up boy... You know, Edgar, it's touching to see your affection for the little Nipper. It strikes a tender chord in my heart. Oh,
thank you, Bill. You know, I thought you didn't like children.
Oh, not at all, Edgar. I love children. I can remember when, with my own little unsteady legs, I traveled from room to room.
When was that? Last night?
Quiet, Wormwood, or I'll whittle you down to a coat hanger.
Yeah.
Tell me, Charles, is it true your father was a gate-legged table?
If it is, your father was under it, or...
Why, you stunted spruce. I'll throw a Japanese beetle on you.
Why, you barfly, you... I'll stick a wig in your mouth and use you for an alcohol lamp.
All the time we were on the air for Chase and Sanborn, Rattle and Russell was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I meant as a guest.
Oh, I meant as a girl.
Charlie, I have a confession to make. Mm-hmm. I heard so many charming things about you, I made up my mind not to like you. But there's no use denying it. I can't resist you.
You can't fight those things, dearie.
She loves me.
I know what you're going through, Mother.
Oh, you're wonderful, Charlie. You have charm, personality, savoir-faire, your perfection.
Oh, sure.
And yet you must have some faults.
I can't think of a thing.
You're the ideal type, Charlie, except perhaps for one thing.
One thing? Oh, well, there might be one, yeah.
I like everything but your red hair. I never cared much for men with red hair.
Yeah. Oh, you don't, huh?
No.
Well, I can wear a coupe. Coupe. All right, you're a backseat driver. All right.
I found another thing wrong, Charlie. Why do you wear that monocle?
Well, you see, my right eye is just a wee bit weak, you know.
Oh, I see. Yes. Has it always been weak?
Yes, it has. Ever since a fist flew in it.
Oh, but Charlie, a monocle is such an affectation.
Yes, it is, isn't it? And it's dignified, too.
Well, why don't you be very dignified and wear one in each eye?
Oh, what, make a spectacle out of myself? Miss Russell, if there's one thing I pride myself on, it's my dress. I am absolutely impeccable, I might say. I think I will. I like it, isn't it?
Really, Charlie, you may consider yourself a Beau Brummel, but to me you look more like, more like a butler.
Oh?
Can you buttle?
I'll split one with you.
Charlie, I'd like to have you meet Miss Caroline O'Connor.
Hello there, Miss O'Connor. May I call you Caroline?
Why not, Charlie, since we both work for Chase and Sanborn.
Yeah. And I can feel employee relations improving every minute.
Charlie, please, let's keep this on a business basis.
Caroline, I assure you, I mean business. Can't we go someplace for a cup of coffee?
We'll take Chase and Sanborn, of course.
But three's a crowd.
See, that reminds me. You know it takes 3 pounds of coffee beans to make 1 pound of instant Chase and Sanborn?
Commercials, commercials.
Which kind of coffee do you prefer, Charlie? Instant or regular?
Whatever you're serving, Caroline.
As long as it's Chase and Sanborn.
As long as it's for breakfast.
Sure.
Caroline, you must excuse Charlie. Sometimes I don't know what to do with him.
I understand, Edgar. Why don't you and I go somewhere and discuss it? Over a cup of Chase and Sanborn.
Wait for baby.
Charlie, I want you to know that I haven't forgotten that you once advertised for another ventriloquist.
Yeah, I advertised in the Hobo News, and Fred Allen showed up.
Pardon me, are you Mr. McCarty?
Yes, I am, yes.
I saw your ad in the Hobo News, and I've come to see about the job.
Yes, well, frankly, you look like the kind who would answer an ad for a ventriloquist.
Yeah.
What's the matter with your eyes? Do they have fallen arches?
No, I just wear my jowls high. You may have heard of me, Mr. McCarthy. My name is Fred Allen.
Yeah, the name is familiar. You aren't wanted, are you?
No.
Well, tell me this. Are you new in radio?
New? Why, bless you, my little ma'am. I was in radio when you were just a gleam in an acorn's eye.
That's very amusing.
I thought so.
Tell me, Mr. Allen, you haven't been working much lately, have you?
No, I've been taking it easy, Mr. McCarthy. After my many years of success in radio, I had something to fall back on.
Mm-hmm. And now you've decided to get up off it. You realize, Mr. Allen, me splitting with Bergen is a drastic step.
But, Mr. McCarthy, what radio needs today is new faces.
Yeah, well, if you can get one, come back and I'll talk to you.
Now, wait a minute. Bergen is no Adonis, you know. He has the profile of an avocado.
You know, there's something about you I like. You know, I think I can do great things for you.
Well, tell me, Mr. McCarthy, when we work together, will I ever get any laughs?
Well,
maybe just one little chuckle?
Maybe.
Oh, sir, you are a prince. Let me kiss the hem of your tuxedo.
It's a tailcoat.
I shall throw you the kiss. To think I am about to become a straight man for a talking shoe tree.
What about the art of ventriloquism? Can you throw your voice?
Well, not exactly throw it. I let it slide gently down one nostril and bank it off the other nostril. I make it the hard way.
Well, Charlie, what's going on here?
Well, I can tell you better what's going off here.
Well, if it isn't Fred Allen, say, I'm glad to see you, Fred.
Well, hello, Edgar.
Say, how does it seem to take a long vacation?
You'll find out, brother.
Say, remember, Edgar, back in our vaudeville days when we played that split week at McKee's Fort?
Yes. Say, remember that silly girl who used to work in your act?
Oh, boy, was she dumb, huh?
Oh, whatever happened to her?
I married her.
You can take your foot out of it now, Bertie.
Oh, he won't take offense. Why, it's always made me feel proud to count Fred as one of my friends.
Well, you can get ready for a recount now, Bertie.
Say, what are you hinting at?
Well, you may not know it, but from now on, you're doing a single, Bergen. Hey, Fred?
That's right, partner.
Oh, I see. So that's it. You too.
Yeah.
Well, what about this, Fred?
I'm hungry, Edgar.
Yes, but you doing ventriloquism.
Well, it's embarrassing, I know. I never thought I'd have to stoop so low.
Low? Ventriloquism is one of the oldest forms of entertainment. Why, it was practiced by the ancient Greeks. Ventriloquists were even found up among the Eskimos.
They weren't found up there, they were chased up there.
Now, just a minute, Fred. Surely you wouldn't do this to an old friend?
I sure would, stranger.
There was never a dull moment.
Remember the time Mae West came to see us? Wow.
Oh, hello, short, dark, and handsome.
Hello, tall, blonde, and terrific. Say, Charlie, do you smell that perfume?
Yeah.
Isn't it ravishing?
Yes, it is. It's ravishing. It's weakening. So help me, I'm swooning.
What is it?
Why, it's my favorite perfume, Ashes of Men.
Uh-oh.
Ashes of Men. Holy smoke. She's not going to make a cinder out of me.
Charlie, why don't you walk out on Bergen? What's holding you?
Well, he is.
Oh, you look pretty good to me, Charlie. Come here.
But I thought you only liked tall men.
Oh, that was my last year's model. This year I'm on a diet.
Oh, so last year. You're on a diet.
Yes. Tell me, Miss West, have you ever found the one man in your life that you could really love?
Sure, lots of times.
Oh, I know. Could you even like Mr. Bergen?
I'm liable to take him away from you. Then what do you say?
Well, if you take Bergen away, I'm speechless.
You ain't afraid I'd do you wrong.
Well, now that you ask, I...
Oh, you're afraid I'll do you right.
Well, I'm slightly confused. I need time for that one, man.
That's all right. I like a man what takes his time.
Well... I'm not feeling very well tonight. I've been so nervous lately. I think I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. Wait, there I go. Oh.
So, good time Charlie's going to play hard to get.
Are you?
I've got a reputation at stake. No man walks out on me. They might carry them out, but they never walk out of me.
I'm mad about you. I love you. I've acted like a fool.
That wasn't action. Come here. I'll show you how to act.
Oh, May, don't be so rough. To me, love is peace and quiet.
That ain't love, that's sleep.
You did some very foolish things, Charlie.
Yeah. You should have known better than to say some of the things I said, Bergen. Take the time I told Marie Teasdale her husband was a fish peddler.
Charlie, I want to explain to you that Mr. Mondo and Miss Teasdale are...
What about Miss Teasdale?
Oh, you'll find out. You know, Miss Teasdale is not the girl you think she is.
Well, that's very interesting information. Do you know her well?
Did you know she was married?
Well, I slightly suspected it.
Yeah. Do you know her husband?
Well, not very well. Do you?
Oh, you should. You should for laughs, you know. You see, he's very jealous, see? And what makes it worse, he's ignorant, too.
Yes. I see, a rather disagreeable sort of fellow.
Oh, the guy knows from nothing. He's a fish peddler.
A fish peddler, I see.
Yeah, you can't afford to be seen going around with her. It'll get in the papers, you know, and it won't read well. What will her husband say, see?
Well, that's a thought. I don't know why he's kept quiet this long.
The guy is too busy selling fish. Sand Dab Teasdale, they call her.
There's only one way to clear this, Charlie. I'm going to call Miss Teasdale over and make her tell the truth.
Oh, come. Why not use tact? Just sort of fade out of her life. Bergen, will you please stop?
Oh, Marie?
Yes?
Would you mind coming over here?
You called me, dear? What is it, darling? Dear darling, what is it?
Marie, Charlie tells me that you said your husband was a fish peddler.
Oh, he did.
Yes, dear.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
There are many things you don't know, young man. And one thing you don't know is that Miss Teasdale is my wife.
Yeah, Miss Teasdale, what? Bergen, why didn't you nudge me?
One thing you must admit, Charlie, I tried to do what was good for you.
Yes, you did, Bergen, and I tried to do you good, too.
Remember that famous piano player, Alec Templeton? He did one thing I shall never forget.
What's that?
Here it is, Charlie.
You are familiar with The Lost Chord. Well, it was originally composed by Sir Arthur Sullivan. And when he wrote it, it sounded like this. Seated one day at the organ, I was weary and ill at ease, and my fingers wandered idly over the noisy keys. I struck one chord of music like the sound of a great amen. Well, that same Sir Arthur Sullivan wrote all the music for the Gilbert and Sullivan operas. And this is my idea of The Lost Chord, had it been written by Gilbert and Sullivan and not Sir Arthur. I never sit any day at the organ. I never ill at ease. My fingers never wander idly over any of the noisy keys. A particularly jovial fellow. I've never known to be bored. And let me explain to my fellows one and all. I've never lost a chord. He's never lost a chord. He's never hardly ever lost a chord.
A particularly jovial fellow, and never, never known to be bored. Never sent any day at the organ, and never, never lost a chord.
Caroline, Effie Clinker has something she'd like to talk to you about.
Yes, Effie?
Mr. Bergen, could we be alone?
Oh, good. Girl talk.
No, boy talk. You're married, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
How did you do it?
I had help.
Oh, who?
Mr. Chase and Mr. Sanborn.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, Effie, what Mr. Chase didn't know about coffee, Mr. Sanborn did.
Well, what's coffee got to do with getting a man?
Everything. When you serve a man, you instant Chase and Sanborn, you got him.
Well, go on, go on, go on.
Yes, it takes 3 pounds of coffee beans to make 1 pound of new instant Chase and Sanborn.
Yes, yes.
That's what makes it so rich.
Oh, he's rich, too?
No, it's instant Chase and Sanborn that's rich. And if he should happen to like a caffeine-free coffee, you can serve him Chase and Sanborn's instant siesta. That way, he can have his coffee and sleep, too.
Who wants him to sleep?
The Chase and Sanborn 100th Anniversary Show will continue after a 10-second pause for station identification.
I must say, Charlie, we had a lot of fun, didn't we?
Yes, you did. You did. The thing I liked most about the show, Bergen, was when Carol Lombard showed up. How that girl loved me.
What would you think of someone who said sweet things to you, who made you fall in love with him and discarded you like a broken toy? What happened to that undying love?
I guess it died. I don't know.
Piper, you're a destroyer of fate. Do you know what it means to sit home alone?
It means there's nobody with you, eh?
You know, night after night, I called you, and you never talked to me.
How could I? Bergen wasn't at home.
You know, the lonely, lonely hours, listening to the clock ticking away.
Yeah.
Tock-tick.
How does it strike, Uku?
You know, darling, wherever I look, I see you. I look into the fireplace.
Oh, no, not there. Not in the fireplace, please. All right.
Believe me, everywhere I look, I see your face.
Have you really missed me that much, Carol?
Missed you? Oh, I've tried so many ways to forget you.
Name four.
And I go on yachting parties,
uh-huh.
I take skiing trips, and I go to the theater,
uh-huh.
And yet I miss you.
Oh, well, you certainly have a good time missing me, aren't you?
Oh, but when I dance with somebody else, I always imagine it's you. And when I kiss someone else, I always imagine it's you.
We've had a lot of fun together, I imagine.
You know, I was wasting away for the love of you. For a while, I was sure I was going mad, but, oh, but thank heavens, I'm comforted by my elixir of herbs.
Oh, who is this guy, elixir? Has he got money?
No, darling, you don't understand. Elixir of herbs is my tonic. You know, I sit in my room with a bottle of tonic by my side.
Uh-huh.
And yet, though I know you're not there, well, wherever I look, I see you sitting on the chandelier, standing on the ceiling. Do you know what I think?
No, but I think you better go easy on that tonic. That's it. You got to admit I came across as a lover, Bergen.
Yes, Charlie, but what about that lovemaking contest you had with Clark Gable?
Oh, Bergen, you wouldn't dare.
So you're Charlie McCarthy.
Yeah. yeah. So you're Clark Gable.
Well, I'm Edgar Bergen.
So what?
Between us, Charlie, to what do you attribute your great success as a Casanova? Wouldn't you tell me?
Well, now, I really...
Come on, Charlie.
Oh, I don't know.
Charles.
Come on, you can be frank with me.
Yes, I know. But does Gobble tell Dietrich?
Well, I'll keep it a secret, Charlie.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what I'll do. If you tell me your system, I'll tell you mine.
Of course, I'm giving more than I'm getting here. But I'm so generous.
Yes, yes, of course.
Now, how do you operate?
Well, Charlie, now, my method is quieter. Dinner invitations and romantic speeches.
Uh-huh. I still say personality is the answer. Now, I'll call Dorothy Lamour over, and when I smile in her eyes, watch her swoon.
Yes. Yes, you do that, Charlie, and I'll show you how I take her away from you.
Gentlemen, is this a private contest?
Why, no. Have you anything to contribute, Mr. Eddie?
Yes, I have. You've forgotten the most important of all systems.
Huh?
A song is the way to a woman's heart.
All right, Nelson. We'll give you a chance to prove it.
Well, now, fellows, I'll show you the difference between winning a girl and making a fool of yourself. Oh, Daddy.
Yes, Charlie.
Mr. Eddie has something to say to you.
Dorothy, do you enjoy the old love song?
Yes, I do, Nelson. I think they're beautiful.
Well, I have only this to say. Just a song at twilight when the lights are low.
That's very lovely, Nelson. But don't strain your voice.
May I sing the rest of it to you when we go out this evening?
I'm sorry, Nelson, not this evening.
What do you do for an encore, Nelson?
Why don't you nail her a copy of the song? All right, batter up Mr. Gable next.
Dorothy, your eyes are alight with the dark beauty of the ages.
Thank you, Clark.
You walk like a goddess. Come down amongst men.
Thank you, Clark.
Will you join me for dinner tonight?
No, thank you, Clark. Not this evening.
The score is nothing to nothing. And it's the last half of the night. Home run McCarthy coming up. Dottie, darling.
Yes, Charlie, dear.
Tell the gentleman why you wouldn't go out with him this evening.
Because I have a date, Charlie, darling. With Edgar Bergen.
Wow.
We've gone through a lot together, Charlie.
Yes, we have.
But nothing's changed. Same good feelings, same good friends.
Mr. Bergen, I want you to meet my legal representative, Donaldo Amiciolo Gazzolo.
How do you do, Gazzolo?
Shut up. Remember, Bergen, from now on, anything you say is going to be held against me.
What's the meaning of all this?
Bergen, I sum it up with a kiss. You pay my client to Charlie McCarthy only 50 cents a week. That's not enough.
That's not enough.
My climate to Charlie McCarthy's got to have $1 a week, right?
Right.
You want to settle? All right. You don't want to settle? We settle you. You mean you're going to press this suit? We're pressing the suit that will sponge you out.
Second, we're going to take you to the cleaners. That's what we're
going to do. Well, gentlemen, I'm willing to give Charlie $1 a week on one condition.
Uh-oh. Make a note of this, Gazzolo.
Yeah.
We have mutually agreed that payments shall be made pro rata, part-time, part payment per year, per week, per day. Preposterous, Russell.
Hey, look at Charlie. What's he talking about?
Before entering this agreement, you both admit that you are of sound mind and body.
Shut up. That's your relatives, Matilda and Inkwood Spickerson.
He knows his law.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, have you reached a decision?
I think we passed it.
Yes.
Well, let me clear this up a little bit.
Yeah, just say yes or no. Yeah, all right.
Well, what I mean is this. If Charlie is to work 6 days out of seven, he would then receive 6/7 of $1, or 85 5/7 cents. Figure it out for yourself.
Yeah, 5/7 of $1 is 52 weeks a year.
Yeah, 12 a month. A leap year is one day more.
How many days in a dollar? I mean, I didn't know.
You carry two.
Look, Charlie, what do you got?
I got a headache. Say, do you think we got a chance, Gazzolo?
Hey, you don't have to worry, kid. If we lose into the lower court, then we're going to push him up to the higher court.
Yeah, and if we lose then?
Then we push him up to the highest court.
That's all right, then. Yeah, but if we lose then...
Well, then we push it... we lose.
Charlie, One of the most distinguished guests we ever had was Mary Pickford, who came to see us right after she married Buddy Rogers.
Hello, Charlie, my dear boy. I'm so glad to see you again. Do you really know who I am? Of course I do. Oh. I just want you to know how very much I've enjoyed your carefree wit.
Oh, my wit, eh? Well, meet my other half here. Mr. Bergen.
How do you do?
Well, really, Miss Pickford, I do very little, but I do try to make a gentleman of Charlie. He handles the truth rather carelessly. He was giving us a tall story about having met you in India.
Yeah, well, it was, I was all...
Charlie, how could you say a thing like that? Oh. India, indeed. Now, you know very well it was Baden-Baden, and let me see, and then again in Tango-Pango.
Of course, indeed, indeed. I get it. Double talk, huh? Oh, come, come, let's talk about those days. Won't you sit down, Miss Pickford?
Oh, yes, thank you. But where?
Well, Bergen's other knee, you know. We just use them around here to sit on. Did you have a pleasant trip from Honolulu and the China Clipper, Miss Pickford?
One of the most glorious adventures of my life, Charlie. I was perfectly fascinated by the instruments on the China Clipper.
Oh, it's all very simple. I have some of them on my plane, too, you know.
And all those various levers, too.
Oh, yes. Everyone. I'm a lover of levers.
Yes.
I have a lever for oil, a lever for the gasoline, a cab's lever. Oh, no, I don't know. And a lever for coffee.
Mm. Now, Charlie, coffee doesn't make airplanes go.
No, but it keeps Bergen and me going.
I'll tell you this, Charlie. There were some actors who took no nonsense from you.
Oh, yeah? Name one.
Charles Laughton.
Name another.
No, I'll stand pat with Charles Laughton.
Hello, Charles. Old boy. Old boy.
Yeah. Mr. Laughton, as you probably remember... We didn't hit it off so very well last time.
No, we didn't.
Oh.
But we both behaved rather badly.
Yes, we did, yes. But you were particularly nasty. Just apologize, please. Oh, yes, apologize. Very well, Mr. Lawton. I apologize for what I said the last time.
Well, that's very generous of you, Charlie.
Yes, it is. I'll go even further than that, Mr. Lawton. I'll apologize for what I'm going to say to you today.
Because I
don't blame you at all, no, Charlie. I think you're missing a great opportunity.
Oh, I'll get him.
No. You're starting wrong. Your friendship with Mr. Lawton might have developed into one of those famous, well, as famous as Miles Standish and Captain John Smith.
Damon and Pythias.
Mm. Chase and Sanborn.
Oh, shut up with that stuff.
He starts it all
the time.
Mr. Lawton?
Yeah, old boy?
Is it true, Mr. Lawton, that you played the Hunchback of Notre Dame without any makeup?
But look here, Bergen, I can't stop you. I can't do anything with him. You're welcome to him.
Thank you.
As for you, I'm sorry you ever met me. Hope I never see you again.
It's a date. Oh.
Jimmy, hasn't this all been wonderful?
Terrific. I just wish everybody could join in and celebrate Jason Sanborn's 100th anniversary with us.
Oh, they can. Jason Sanborn came to that. With their big 100th anniversary coffee sale.
Of course. Friends, right now at your grocer's, you can get Chase and Sanborn coffees at amazingly low, low prices. Rich and hearty roasted Chase and Sanborn.
And brand new, deliciously new, instant Chase and Sanborn.
Now, Chase and Sanborn's famous roasted coffee is blended with nectar-rich Colombian beans for richer, more rewarding flavor.
And Chase and Sanborn's new instant is so rich, it takes 3 pounds of coffee beans, including those expensive Colombian beans, to make just 1 pound of the instant.
Try them both. Two great, great coffees at low, low prices.
And save while the big sale's on.
Remember, what Mr. Chase didn't know about coffee...
Mr. Sanborn did.
Do you remember, Charlie, what happened when you decided to leave me and go to work for another ventriloquist?
Yeah,
And you got Mortimer Snurd, you rat.
Your name, please, sir. My name, well, it always has been. Well, what was the query? The query.
Your name is Mortimer Snurd.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And now for our other expert on this farm panel, your name, please.
Well, my name is, I know it wasn't no more name. What was the query?
Yes, your name, sir.
Oh, yes, Zeke Stewart.
Yeah. Gentlemen, greetings and salutations. Well, thank you. I don't mind if I do. Yeah.
I'll go along with that.
Mind if I go with you?
Gentlemen, please. This is a forum. Now, what is your opinion on agriculture?
Well, it's my opinion that no farm should be without it.
I'll go along with that.
Well, get there first. Wait for me, huh?
We must have some helpful information. Now, Mr. Snurd, what is your idea on increasing milk production?
I'm glad you asked me, yeah. Increasing milk production.
Yeah.
First, you got to get a cow. You got to do that. You'll go along with me on that, won't you, Zeke?
Yeah. Should be a female cow.
Yeah.
Perhaps I'll do better if I explain parity. Parity is equality in purchasing power between different kinds of money at a given ratio.
No!
I'll go along with Zeke's opinion, yes.
Look, gentlemen, in other words, if a bushel of corn costs $2 under present conditions, do you think...
Well, I'll tell you, it's like this.
I haven't asked the question yet.
Well, I ain't a fellow that waits until the last minute, all right?
No, time to waste them. That's for dang sure. I like you, Mort. You're nobody's fool.
Well, nobody's in particular, anyway. Well, that's for dang sure.
Yeah, we ought to get along fine. We understand each other.
Who do?
You and me.
Oh, them, yeah.
That's who I was talking about.
Gentlemen,
all the time.
Gentlemen, if a bushel of corn, now get this.
I like you, Mort. Let's get together sometime, Mort.
Okay, where?
Well, we can decide that when we get there. Anyway, I hope to see you sometime, Mort.
Well, then some other time I can see you. If we change off like that, we won't get so sick of seeing each other.
Now, this bushel of corn...
Well, how about coming over to my farm, Zeke?
Okay, where is it?
Well, I'll tell you how to get there if you don't mind getting lost. Oh, yeah.
How far is it as the crow flies?
Oh, it's about... Well, you ain't coming by crow, are you?
Gentlemen, but our time is up.
You know, Charlie, nobody ever believed all those love affairs of yours.
They were all true, Bergen, so help me. I was true to them all.
There was one special one, Charlie.
Oh, you mean Margaret O'Brien?
Yes.
Oh, come, Bergen. She was just a child.
Margaret, you're the youngest star out at MGM, aren't you?
Oh, no. This Lassie.
Yes. Well, Margaret, are you and Charlie very good friends?
Yes, Mr. Bergen. Mm-hmm. But it's purely platonic.
Yeah.
Isn't she cute?
Yes. Tell me, how old are you, Margaret?
I'm 7 years old.
7 years old. She carries her age well, doesn't she?
Hey, Bergen, how about that time Jack Oakey came over and we let Don Amici mow him down? What a vaudeville team that made.
That's what I can see the billing now. Oakey and Amici.
Amici and Oakey.
Jack Oakey and company, those corny kids.
The From Hunger Boys.
Praying kids.
Far and near.
Those dancers, flip salads and funny sayings and freshly laid eggs.
That's very hokey, Okie.
Mm, that's getting tough for every day. Well, tell me, are you with me?
You think we'll ever replace the old-fashioned screeno?
Don't worry, Don. Listen, we'll break the act right in here. Right out of the book, routine number 36. You got it?
Well, you asked for it.
All right. Hello, Joe. What do you know?
Let's go see a vaudeville show.
You see
a
dance?
I'll take a chance.
Okay, Professor. Let's go.
Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. We was going to the park one day.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Jack.
I got a dog named Ginger.
Does Ginger bite?
No, Ginger snap. Ha, ha.
Mondo's got a new job. He's a kitchen blacksmith.
That's all. Kitchen blacksmith. What does he do?
He shoots flies.
Ah! We were taken by the blind by a pair of rope we tied.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Jack.
I'm having a lot of trouble with that new washing machine down at the house.
What's the matter with it?
Every time I get to take a bath, the panel's knocking me off my feet.
Stop, Don.
Look out, Jack. We were...
This evening, we welcome among us, for the first time, Ogden Nash. The first to inoculate the muse with the blind staggers, he stands today alone. The premier murderer of the King's English to suit the Queen's taste. Greetings, Ogden Nash.
Well, Don, I want to say I'm as happy as any child or any woman or any man born to be with you this evening on Chase and Sanborn.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, Ogden. But don't expect me to answer in rhyme.
You could do verse.
We had many great ladies of the theater visit us, Charlie.
Yeah, and many great gals, too.
Which one did you think was the greatest?
Well, if you're talking about gals, I won't talk. I'm a gentleman at all times. If you're talking about ladies...
You a Charles McCarthy?
Yes, ma'am, and you are Ethel Barrymore.
Now, what is this matter of life and death you wanted to see me about, Charles?
Yeah, well,
Miss Barrymore, what Charlie's trying to say is that he and his pals have a club.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And we call it the Royal Order of Rat Sluggers and Shakespearean Players. And we're putting on a play for a needy cause.
What is the needy cause?
Well, it's cause we need it. It's for our summer camp.
Well, I think that's splendid. I'll do all I can to help you.
Oh, see? Oh, Miss Barrymore, you are so generous.
No, no, I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are.
All right, you win.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Barrymore, it's awfully nice of you to give your valuable time to this little venture.
Well, they sound like good boys, and they're showing such good taste in choosing Shakespeare.
Yes, yes, see? To show our appreciation, we would like to have you play a part in our show.
Oh, that's very kind of you, but think of my reputation. Think of my future.
Yes, but think of the money we'll take in, too. Who knows, we might even be able to make it worth your while. What is your salary, roughly?
Well, roughly, Charlie, it runs into four figures.
Four figures.
Mm.
That's a bit rough, isn't it? How does $10.25 sound to you?
Charlie.
Well, that's four figures.
Well, under the circumstances, I'll be willing to forget half my salary.
Good. And I'll forget the other half.
Now, before we go any further, just who is in the car?
Well, I trod the boards in Sweden.
Oh, you trod the smorgasbord. Did you ever play the part of the melancholy Dane?
No, he didn't, but he was awfully good as the flat-happy Swede. Don't be too harsh on my pal. Remember, as our friend Shakespeare said, do not strain your mercy or you'll ruin the quality.
Oh, no.
The quality of strained mercy is not what it's cracked up
to. No, Charlie, not really. That's not a bit like it.
Ask you.
No.
Stepping on my line.
Well, I meant to, Charlie.
Well, I was warned, wasn't I?
Yes, you were warned, darling. Now, listen, Charlie.
Yes.
It's really very easy. Now, listen. The quality of mercy is not strained. The drop of the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. To bless of him that gives and him that takes. Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes a throned monarch better than his crown. His scepter shows the force of temporal power, the attribute to awe and majesty, wherein doth sit the dread and fear of kings. But mercy is above this sceptered sway. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute to God himself.
Excuse me, Mortimer. Could I have that microphone, please?
Oh, is it yours?
Well, I needed to tell everybody about Jason Sanborn Coffee. Do you mind?
Well, I don't. If Jason Sanborn knows.
Jason Sanborn has been making fine coffee for 100 years. And this is their best cup yet.
Finally found out how, eh?
But Jason Sanborn's always improving their coffee. And now it's richer than ever. They've blended in Colombian beans.
Colombian beans?
No, no, Mortimer. Colombian.
Well, that's what I said. Colombian beans.
Well, that's better. Those nectar-rich Colombian beans make Jason Sanborn so rich, they transform this coffee by what seems sheer legerdemain into an ambrosial brew that is, in truth, fit for the palate of a gourmet.
No! Would you drag that past again, Mr. Wallington?
I'd be glad to. Jason Sanborn tastes good.
Well, now, why didn't you say that in the first place?
Well, Charlie, as we look back over the years, what have you got to say?
Well, if I had my life to live over again, I'd make the same mistakes. Only I'd start sooner.
Well, it's been fun.
And it's still fun.
Let's wish Jason Sanborn another happy 100 years.
And I hope you make it too, Bertie.
Good night, everybody, and good coffee. Jason Sanborn, of course.
Good night.
Just heard the Jason Sanborn 100th Anniversary Show. Part of Jason Sanborn's celebration of 100 years of coffee perfection. Written, edited, and produced by Carol Carroll and Daniel Sutton.
This is the NBC Radio Network.